This week, I'm going to be talking about a iconic witch's tool from the old witch's tool cabinet.
Ye olde witch apothecary cabinet covered
witch hut. Oh, that fucking accent. I'm going to be talking about the besom. The besom. The besom.
Bison. Not bison.
That doesn't feel right. I want to say besom, but apparently it's besom.
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 If we're wrong, this is going to be hilarious.
This will be the second time we're wrong about the pronunciation.
Like, I can just hear like a ting, 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 ting every time we say it, like besom. A tally. Just like besom.
Besom. No. Besom. I did watch a lot of videos, not just those shitty, like, Webster Dictionary pronunciation videos, but, like, videos where people were actually using the word in conversation.
Yeah.
And it appears that it is besom.
Besom.
So that's what I'll be going with.
All right, I like it. I can dig it.
If you want to correct me and tell them that besom is correct, then please do.
Please do, because I like that better.
I feel better saying besom. But anyway, I will be talking about the witch's broom. That was I went around my ass to get to my elbow on that one.
I liked it. I think it was very informative.
Well, you're welcome. And no flying ointment this time.
That's too bad.
That's too bad. What are you talking about?
A new topic was revealed to me after the last Witchy Bazaar, which something usually is. We both got this really, really neat starter bag of resins from RD Artisanals. Mm-hmm. It came with is it Copal or is it Copal?
Copal. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Someone.
Is it besom or besom?
Let us know how to say these things. Anyway, so you have that and frankincense, myrrh, and dragon's blood.
Dragon's blood?
And I didn't really know anything whatsoever about dragon's blood.
I know that it looked fucking cool because it's red.
Yeah, it's like rusty garnet kind of colored. Mm. Really cool.
Sometimes people soak their sage in it and it just makes like a red bundle of sage.
Oh, cool.
So I know it looked dope.
Which, but that's neat. Yeah, because it's an amplifier. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a neat thing. And like Bear was like, it's like sage, like on steroids.
That's right.
Like he was like, it will power blast whatever.
Yeah, they were like, if sage won't do the trick, you get you
this
some dragon's
shit will.
Blood.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I have no idea what this is. Mm. So that's what I'm talking about.
Love it.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure we have about 0 minutes of usable content.
We have to. Well, we got to have something.
Listen, guys, whatever you're hearing right now, we've been recording for 45 minutes and we are so full of shit giggly tonight.
Yeah, this is a problem.
That we gotta get on the road. I have no segue. Okay, so the besom.
Bison.
Bison. It's a symbol of cleansing and purification, obviously. We, like, physically clean our houses with it, so it kind of has come to be a symbol of energetically cleansing. Anytime you're trying to, like, cleanse energy like you would with a sage. It's also a symbol of fertility. Not necessarily fertility as in, like, making babies. But for crops, you want your ground to be fertile. You want your workspaces to be fertile so you can produce good ideas. So kind of like the idea of mm-hmm. fertileness. It is tied currently to the element of water, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it would be. In other magical traditions, it's tied to the air, which makes a lot more sense to me. It's viewed as a perfect blend between masculine and feminine energies. And what's interesting about that is traditionally these brooms are made from ash, birch, and willow. The ash tree or ash wood is where the masculinity comes from. It's instilling into the broom that masculine energy, but it also represents fire and amorous love.
Oh.
Birch is the feminine side, and that offers elements of protection and cleansing. So it's a really good home tool. You're protecting your home, you're keeping it clean, but at the same time, you have like the love and like the fire that a home should have, you know, and the warmth. So it's viewed as the number one home tool to have. So if you don't have a besom out there, go get you one. You can buy one. I know there's a lot of rules about like having to be gifted certain things or having to get one passed down to you. This is something you can go out and buy yourself. You can also make it if you're crafty, which good on you if you are, because those handmade brooms look so dope. But I could never, ever have the patience to do that. If you do, there's like a ton of great resources online. But if you do buy your own, be sure to cleanse it. In the Wiccan faith, there is a particular way to consecrate your new broom. I don't feel like I'm qualified to go into that necessarily. So if you want to do it in the style of the Wiccan faith, there are instructions out there to do it. However, if you just want to kind of clear it of any built up energies that it may have like pre-existing on it, then you can leave it in the full moon like you would your other tools. You can use the smoke from sage or maybe even some dragon's blood. I don't know. You can have a little ritual, you can cast a circle, however you want to clear, just make sure you do that, because you don't want it, like, holding on to some old shit. Make sure to personalize it, and this is really fun, like, I'm really excited to personalize. I just got my very first one.
I don't have one.
I just got my first one. It's actually a cinnamon broom.
Ah!
You know, they all come out this time of year. So I got one of those big cinnamon brooms, and it's just plain and basic, and I'm gonna get some, like, ribbons to put on it to, like...
See, I would love to do that.
I saw some really cool, like, suggestions online of, like, feathers, which I saw, and I immediately thought of you, because you're, like, the feather collector.
I have a lot of feathers going on right now, and
but
I'm
really
excited.
But how sweet would that look? That just, like, feathers on a broom, man? And then
Oh, and it used to be associated with air.
Exactly. I was gonna say, it brings back some of that, like, air association. Mm-hmm. You can hang stones from it.
I think it would be maddening, but it'd be also kind of cute to have like little bells on it.
Yeah. You could put little
like
bells.
Sound clear.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. At the same time when you're sweeping mm-hmm. through, that's a really good. I'm gonna copy that. I'm going to the like Michaels or something, and I'm gonna
get some little
things.
Like, tinkly bells.
I'm gonna get some like black and orange ribbons to put on it for Halloween, and I think that's gonna be my tradition. Is every time a Sabbat rolls around, I'm gonna like decorate. I'm gonna
really,
switch it up.
I really like that. I like that a lot. I might do that too. That sounds fun.
Oh my gosh, we could. One thing I saw that was really interesting is you can hang dried herbs on your broom.
Ooh.
But what's cool about this is you can actually pick your herbs and then dry it on your broom. So, like, don't just dry your herbs and stick it on your broom. Mm. Dry it on the effing broom. And it's said to, like, any of the energies that seep out, soak them in. And then it would contain those. So even if you got rid of the herbs after a little while, they started getting busted mm-hmm. and it's just time to switch them out. Like you've steeped your broom mm-hmm. in this, which I think is so cool. Plus, I like to put herbs everywhere. If I could just have like a hut with shit hanging from the ceilings, that would be my life. Anoint it is another thing that I think is important. I'm like in an anointing phase right now.
I like anointing.
Macy.
Yeah.
You can have more than one besom.
What?
Yes. So you can have your main one and you can use that as, sweeping the energy. You can use it to create sacred space. You can almost use it in like a wand-like fashion to kind of point it around and bust up and stuff like that. But you can also have the one that you just like hang above your front door. And that's said to protect the home. Mm. You can also have your little tiny one in your kitchen that you use as for like little kitchen witch purposes.
And that's where mine is.
And that's why I loved it. I saw yours hanging up in the kitchen. I was so excited. That's said to bring kind of a kitchen witch element to it, as in it's going to help protect what you make in your kitchen. It's going to help stop the overboiling or the overcooking, or it's gonna kind of slow the decay of food down in the fridge, and it's just gonna kind of watch over your kitchen in that way. So you can like load your house down with besoms. In some cultures, it's said that you don't want to use your magical broom as your like mundane chore broom.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right. I saw somebody say that they use their broom for their magical purposes, their ritual purposes, but they also use it to clean their floors, basically. They would also use it for very practical purposes. And I kind of like that. I like the idea of having a very everyday purpose for something, but like, I want my broom that I clean my floors with. I want it to have a little bit of magic. Thank you. That's where I'm trying to go with that. Maybe instead of using your big supreme besom that you use for all of your creating sacred space and that you decorate all the time, maybe don't use that one to clean your floors with, but the one that you do your actual sweeping with, give it a little bit of love too. Give it a little bit of decoration. Give it a blessing every once and again, because every time we're sweeping our floors and we're just getting like the dirt and the whatever up, it is kind of kicking around energy. And I want it to be a good energy that it's spreading around my house. So why not? Why, you know, give it a little something. That being said, this is not sponsored. I really wish it was, because they make the best shit. There's a website, broommagic.com. They don't know me. I don't know them. Like, it started off as just one person who was born in Texas, by the way. And now they like live off the land. They make these handmade brooms that are so bitchin', but they're also practical. And then there's also ones that they like carve woodland spirit faces into.
Oh, wow.
They are so good, and they are such a reasonable price. This sounds like a fucking plug.
I want one.
I know it does, but I was looking at them. I was like, the next time I need like a broom, this is what's happening. Because they have several styles. They even have like the old school besom that like you would see, like think Harry Potter Quidditch.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan. Yeah. I love
So they have like those.
That's what I would want for my like magical.
Magical, room. Yeah, because it doesn't serve much purpose. Like, no. It's not going to sweep a floor really well.
Yeah.
When you do get your broom, hopefully from broommagic.com. And you want to, you've already blessed it, you've cleared away the energy that it was holding on to, and you've instilled it with a new energy of you and your home and your family and stuff. And a couple ways you can use the broom is sweeping away the energies. We've talked about that. And for that, you are going to not actually touch the floor. You're going to like sweep above. Think of it like if there were a layer of smoke on your floor, you'd want to like create a wind pattern. Mm-hmm. So you're not like actually sweeping debris up. You're kind of pushing that smoky, cloudy energy out. It's also said that you want to sweep this out the back door. It's just long held witch tradition to do that, because if you sweep it out of your front door, it's supposed to like ward off any good energies or any possibilities mm-hmm. that may be trying to find their way in, mm-hmm. you know, and think about that. If you're a good energy, if you're a good thing and you see all this black
pouring out of this door,
this negative energy just out, you're not going to come in. So it makes sense to me. Like, brush it out the back door, get it out of your house for unwanted company. If someone is in your home, to make their visit short, turn your broom upside down. And by that, I mean, put the bristles that would normally sweep and touch the floor, put that pointing towards the ceiling. And it said that will make their visit short. Likewise, you could, this one's a little creepy. Like, you could point the broom at them, the handle, not the bristle part, but the handle. And if they're, like, staying in your home and they're staying in your guest room, you can put your broom in, like, an adjacent room pointing at them through the wall.
And it's, why?
And it's basically, it's like shooting this, like, beam of, like,
go away.
Yes! It's that protective energy. It's that protective spirit. If you put it like pointing towards somebody in your house who you want out, it's just going to laser beam them with, get the fuck out, get the fuck out, get the fuck out.
All night.
I love it. Sweep the energy after they leave. After somebody leaves, as soon as you can, grab your broom, sweep that energy out the door. And it's said to kind of keep that person away. An incantation that I particularly love. I love my incantations to be really short. With this broom, I sweep away all negativity that comes my way. That's what I've got. That's my, I call it the episode one of the besom. I wanted to get deeper into the lore of it, but there is so much.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, that.
At a later date, I would like to kind of maybe compile these and make it almost a little bit of a history lesson or something like that. But I wanted to cover more of the modern day uses. And out comes the Book of Shadows.
The big book! Hey, I felt like such a witch this week, yeah. Which is good because I've not been feeling like a witch lately because I'm like not, I don't know, we talked about it earlier today, yeah. I'm just not feeling it. Right now.
It's the season change.
It really is, and summer is leaving, and I'm losing it.
You're so tied to the heat and the sun and the summer spirits and everything. I think that they're
spring
dying.
Spring summer is my jam.
You're
when
going away. That is something we did say. We were like, Macy and I, as we're learning, we may work in shifts.
Yeah, I think so. But
it's also good to kind of help keep the other person
not completely miserable.
Yeah, into it.
It was cool though. I actually got to reference this book for the first time.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I was getting certain resins and herbs all mixed together mm-hmm. in my abalone shell for a bath. Mm-hmm. And I referenced it to like get all the different.
It Isn't it cool satisfying. when you reference your own?
Yeah, it was
stuff.
My own writings. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's.
You're not cool. Reading it like off a book or off an article. You're like, this is knowledge that I have.
Yeah.
And I'm like giving it to past me, or I'm taking it from past me.
Yeah, I love it.
And I think several of our coven members out there have gotten this book.
I think two so yeah. far. Yeah. Okay, though, to create a segue, there were a lot of similarities, though, or a lot of applications that you were talking about for the Beezum that really, Dragon's Blood does a lot of the same thing.
Right.
I thought that was pretty interesting. But, so, Dragon's Blood has been used since ancient times. Mm. I mean, we're like old school
really?
Stuff. Yeah.
Because with a name like Dragon's Blood, I figured it was a new thing. Because,
Dragon's Blood.
Because, like, myrrh that comes from like a plant, like copal, like that's yeah. These things have names.
I couldn't really find like the definitive reason that it's called that. And the thing is that it's like made of, there's a few different trees that it can come from.
Okay.
Yeah, like different types of palms. But it's a bright red resin, essentially a sap.
Yeah, it is.
There was uncertainty in like medieval texts about like, you know, medieval writings, like what it was, you know, what this dragon's blood was, you know, they were trying to write, you know, these fantastical things about what it was. And one says it was the actual literal blood of elephants and dragons that had died in battle. And I thought that was so cool.
And like, this was literal. They were taking this literally.
They thought that this dragon's blood, this resiny type stuff was the literal blood from elephants and dragons that died in battle.
That's so badass, but where did the elephants come from?
Well, I know. And the article I read actually said Mortal Kombat. Like, that died in Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
It was great. It was a nice little read at 5:30 in the morning.
I
just
love
like,
it.
Oh, okay.
And die in Mortal Kombat.
Voyagers to the Canary Islands in the 15th century. They found dragon's blood, and it was these red drops of sap from this native tree called the Dracaena Draco. I'm probably not saying that right.
Draco Malfoy?
I know, it sounds, I know, me too. But it's like Dracaena Draco, and that's the type of tree. And they would wound the tree, like with a sword or something like that, and collect the sap, and that's where this resin would come from. It's used in a lot of different parts of the world for a shitload of reasons.
Oh, boy.
And everything from practical to very metaphysical.
I love a versatile,
yeah.
A versatile herb.
Well, and that beautiful coloring is apparently, it's a
close plant.
To, yeah. It, like, that deep red is used as a wood varnish. Often.
Really?
Yeah, on furniture. So violins
Ooh,
will be varnished.
I could see
in,
that, like
yeah,
that real
the
pretty.
Draco sap. Some cultures have used it as a cure-all from fever to ulcers on the skin to stomach problems to like everything,
right.
Pretty much. It was a busy substance. It had its hands and everything. We touch again on accident on a topic that I really want to dedicate a good segment to. Hoodoo.
Okay. Hoodoo makes a return.
So in hoodoo, in New Orleans voodoo, it's used in money hands for money drawing and things like that, which that I'd kind of known a little bit about, you know. It's also added to red ink to inscribe magical seals and talismans.
Ah.
The ink can be used as a love spell where the lover's name is written on a small square of brown paper crossed with their own name. Dragon's blood powder is folded up with it and burned over charcoal with a love me incense.
Oh, what is a love me incense?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
But I read that and was just like, oh, wow.
That's okay. A simple little.
Yeah, I was like, that could be neat. I mean, even if you just want to, like, someone you're already with. Just,
yeah,
like,
I was going to say, what happens if I do that with my husband?
Like, that's. I read it and was like, I'm going to try that.
We should. We should absolutely find some brown paper and cast a love spell tonight.
Where do we get a love me incense?
Fuck.
That's the wild card here.
Huh. We'll figure it out.
So it's used very widely in pagan practices as a tool for banishing and cleansing.
So if sage is your Lysol, dragon's blood is like your bleach.
Yeah. Okay. And this is where it kind of tied into the basem. Besom?
Basem.
Basem.
Basem. Bosom.
It's good. It's good for really deep cleaning, like when someone who has finally gone that you wanted to leave, and you want to cleanse the space of any remainder of their energy, their negative
Boy,
energy.
Howdy.
Yeah. It's really good for that kind of deal.
Dude.
Yeah.
Sweep that out with a besom.
Besom.
Light you some dragon's blood, they won't fucking come back.
It's associated with fire, so it can represent fire on your altar.
Neat.
And it's an enhancer of spells involving the power of, like, the sun or just power in general and flames and, you know, things like that.
Heat.
Yeah. I assume confidence and things like that because I just associate that with fire.
Any kind of power, fire,
It can be blended into oil to anoint candles, talismans, yourself. Provides protection on dream journeys and astral travel, which I have a story at the end of this I'm going to touch on.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Ties into that. It can be used to spice things up a bit, place some of it under the bed to increase some activity or performance.
Some,
you know,
brown chicken, brown cow.
Yes, if you will. When combined with frankincense, myrrh, it creates psychic protection. It is primarily harvested from different types of palms, usually demonodrops.
Whoa.
I know that's wrong. Demonodrops. It's a weird word, and I'm sorry to all of the botanists. Is it horticulturists? I know, I'm just offending people. I'm sorry. And, but demonodrops or demonodrops draco translates to demon shrub. It's apparently very thorny.
Oh.
And, yeah.
I was just picturing a little pissed off shrub.
Just like hands on its hips.
I'm mad.
These palms of different types grow all over, Australia, the Pacific Islands, Southeast Asia, but most, commercially, I get they're from like Malaysia, or Indonesia is like a big harvesting place for them. The ink, though, is what I'm really interested in. I like this, this whole thing of using the demon's blood mixed in with the red ink to write and inscribe and like
Dragon's
burn
blood.
And release. What did I say?
Demon's blood. Which sounds badass.
I keep saying that. Devil's blood, demon's blood. but I really do. I like that mixed, that whole element of writing with the dragon's blood and getting that, you know, putting the process in writing it on paper and even like sealing it in wax or something and then burning it. And I like that a lot. So that was something I pulled from this and I was like, ooh, that's exciting.
Macy actually made some ink.
I did,
for us to do a little ritual we're going to do later and kind of seal some stuff in and burn it up to the heavens. And
I'm ready.
That's really cool. And it looks so pretty.
It's pretty. Yeah. I'm excited about it. So.
I'm amazed.
Okay. All right. So, I had a friend come in and stay with me for a few days. And she's familiar with a lot of this stuff. She hadn't like meditated much or anything like that. And like, I really love to create spaces for people.
You really do. You love making a good bath.
I do. I love for people to take baths in my bathtub.
Because you have to share a glorious bathtub like that.
I want to, you know, mm-hmm. and I like enchanted this room before she got in it. Oh, I like put a spell in that room and I like deep cleaned it and like got it all ready and like got my incense and like my copal and like my sage. And I just completely intentioned, just like, I didn't want any trace of my energy left in that room. Mm-hmm. And I just cast like protection and, you know, like clarity. How was nice. One of those, like, in, because that is, I feel like you process a lot in that room. So I was really focusing on clarity.
Fucking cozy. Does this, oh my God.
I really put a lot of work into it, which it paid off. God damn it. And all I know is that she came out of there very excited, but not like excited, like hyper, just like kind of like aghast, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But she walked out and I didn't hear her say anything. And like, it's off the bedroom, but I was in the bedroom, like working in my little witch corner, yeah. You know? And she walked out and I didn't see her say anything. I was like, how was that? And she was like, come talk to me. And I was like, okay.
You're like, I know you're processing something.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
You need to talk this out.
So she sent me this email and it might be long, but it was a pretty crazy story, so I told her to send it in because I used the dragon's blood, frankincense, and myrrh combo for her.
Oh, yeah. And that was to be psychic protection.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and also to, like, in, you know, the whole, like, astral projection and type, kind of
right.
Help her get into a state like that.
Ready to receive.
Exactly. For her sake, we're not going to use her name, but we agreed to call her Janet.
We're calling her Janet.
So it's a... Let's damn it.
Janet.
That's what I was saying.
Very spooktober thing to do.
Yeah, I like it. And anyway, so she says, I want to start this off by saying that I'm very new to meditation and not very disciplined about keeping a daily practice. My mind wanders a lot, and often it's very easy to get discouraged. The experience I had was no exception. It took several minutes of getting out of my head and into my mind. I was taking a bath, and I felt frustration in the split, maybe this is bullshit feeling anytime you're training yourself to do something yep. that you're not readily used to. Anybody who's trying to get into meditating.
Yeah.
I had a failed meditation today. Sometimes it doesn't happen,
yeah.
You know, like it really is so hard.
And especially when you're just starting off, it is so easy to want to just go, this is bullshit.
It is just, like, and just open your eyes and be like, fuck this.
Yeah,
next
fuck it.
Time.
I'm not doing it.
I've learned a lot of it, especially for me, is ego. And the best way to get around it is to practice telling yourself, I accept this. So finally, I closed my eyes, really focused on the smell. Oh, yeah, I forgot. There was sandalwood involved here.
Baby.
All of those resins were on a bed of sandalwood.
Baby.
So finally, I closed my eyes, really focused on the smell of sandalwood and dragon's blood burning. And I drifted off. It was a slightly jarring moment. It wasn't gradual, but it wasn't drastic either. It was like a hypnotist quietly snapped his fingers in my mind, and suddenly, while still conscious of myself, I felt like I was sharing my mind's eye with something else. That is so much. I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
When you do, and oh, yeah. It hits fast. Like,
yeah, and especially when you are still aware. Because sometimes
yeah.
it happens when it's a dream state. You don't know what's up until later. But sometimes you're almost so aware that you're like, how is this happening while I'm still aware?
Yeah, that's more often how I am.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I get to process this in real
time.
It's
really, yeah. And then sometimes I'll catch myself being like, I know I'm not making this up because this is ridiculous.
Yeah. like, I have an active imagination and stuff. And I get that. But like, this is some shit that it's not so much that I made it up. It's that I'm leaving my body and I'm being shown something
else.
Yeah.
Yeah. exactly. She said, it wasn't visual. I saw some blots of color dance in and out of my vision. The presence got stronger, and I started to imagine what this presence might look like.
Ooh.
It was definitely female, but my mind started sifting through faces, eye colors, etc., to identify it. The best way I could describe what happened next is she spoke through me, and I had a discourse with myself.
Ooh.
I didn't speak, but I mouthed, "Who are you?" And I was told that I was in the presence of three past lives.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, hit me with it.
Oh, this is really wild.
Maybe that's why she's mouthing it through herself.
She was like communicating through herself.
There's no other entity for it to go through.
It is just very cool to me.
Ooh, baby.
They were all women, and they wouldn't all speak to me that day. But first, who identified herself as Nymelda, was the first one I would meet. She told me that they weren't gods, but they were meant to be my guides of sort, my spiritual confidants. Nymelda told me that they got a sense that I was trying to connect with them and said that it isn't that hard if you're looking to, that I didn't have to accept this or come back if I didn't want to, but encouraged me to come back because there's a lot that they would have to say and teach me if I did. At this point, my hands were beside me in the water, palm up, moving slowly in and out of the water as I was receiving this.
I love...
Isn't that so cool?
Those things.
And your body just moves on its own. It's just doing
things.
She told me that they saw that I was struggling with letting go of some things that impacted me in the past and suggested that I let that go now. Except that they aren't parts of my identity. And let them have this perceived burden of mine. She told me I was them and they were me, and I was open to it. I could reconcile with my identity as myself and as a woman. At this point, my neck arched back with my eyes closed, and I experienced a gradual lightness take over me and felt the grip of my anxiety loosen bit by bit. Eventually, I felt very light, and Nymelda told me that the burden was lifted, but warned me to remember that the lessons I was taught by my past. She also very emphatically told me to start taking better care of myself. I have chronic illness that reached its worst this time last year, and I'm in the process of recovering from it. She made it very clear that I need to be very careful to care for myself physically and mentally, or else my illness and poor mental health will leave me vulnerable to worse illnesses and an early death. This didn't scare me. She spoke practically and knowledgeable as a friend would. Mm. I like that. Mm-hmm. It's very just, listen.
Yeah, look here.
You got to do better than this.
I also like the idea that it's like she was so open to it because these are beings or spirits or energies that hold a piece of you still.
Yeah.
You know, you are still sharing that consciousness.
That's what I like that part. I am you and you are us, or like however she worded it.
I like the part where she said that they had said they got a sense that she was trying to connect.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that they're out there and they're kind of wandering around. They're like, you smell that?
Yeah.
I smell some cobalt. Somebody, you know, like
someone's calling it sandalwood. Yeah. I smell it.
Like, these are the signals. Go time.
This is not a drill.
Yeah. And they're like, I know that this is what you do when you want to call us. Yeah, I just like that was such an obvious, like, I got the sense that you're trying to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because I was trying to talk to you. This is cool.
She said, I asked her to show herself, and it took a while, but I finally envisioned a woman that was probably a farmer's wife and maybe 1700s. Mm. She looked hardy, wise, and a little serious with very long black hair and blue eyes. Mm. The others would not show themselves just yet. After this, there wasn't much else said, and I experienced a few moments of silence as the blots of color I was previously seeing centered in front of my vision and burned a fairly bright magenta, what I have suspected to be the color of my aura. After this, I opened my eyes and saw my reflection in the mirror in the bathtub. I'm not sure how long I looked at myself, but my face changed several times. I saw it glow. I saw it ill. I saw happiness, something dark, myself as I was and myself as I could be, I think. I chanted my name silently, and I had a feeling of reclaiming, as though the burden of my past worries had given away to me reclaiming my identity. Then I washed myself down with shea butter, being very careful and thorough, as though it was an act of self-care.
Mm.
Then it was over, and everything looked a little sharper and more saturated the first few minutes I got out of the bath, and I felt lighter.
Wow.
I was definitely changed by this, since I'm writing this almost a week later. It wasn't a huge change. All my bad habits and bad posture were still waiting on me on the other side. However, what I have noticed is an increase in mindfulness and a decrease in anxiety.
Mm.
I feel more open to change, and this has helped me be aware of what I'm doing and not doing in my life. And I've been taking note of how I feel and what I should be doing to take better care of myself. I also feel a newfound confidence and confidence isn't one of the traits I'm known for. I have not gone back entirely and as powerfully as I did, but I intend to.
Oh, man.
It was a cool story.
That's so good.
I loved that bit about confidence because I'm such a confidence mm-hmm. advocate. Like, I'm almost a really annoying, like a motivational speaker right. about confidence. And so I read that and it was just like, yes.
That's so good. And especially because I think we can both agree that this person is so cool. If you're listening.
Oh, my God.
Janet. You deserve all the confidence.
I mean, I was like kind of patting myself on the back because I really.
You're like, I did this.
I concocted. That space, and I put so much of my energy into
it. Did you feel like
it.
A powerful witch?
I did. And see, that's the thing. Like, while I've not felt, like, connected to, like, the spirit, mm-hmm. to, like, that feeling, I've really been in a, like, concocting type
yeah.
mood. And I noticed that I've been, like, more potionsy all of a sudden, yeah. almost. And, yeah, like, yeah. I'm usually not that way. And, like, because I expected her to come out and be like, wow, I actually kind of, like, broke through a little.
Yeah.
Kind of, no. Like, it was...
Yeah, she had a full-blown... And, I mean, to be fair, Mace, you hit her up with some pretty powerful shit.
I did, yeah, and...
So she walked in and was immediately on another plane of existence.
Pretty much, yeah. After
the portal.
Room, after the room was already blessed with the same resins earlier that day.
Damn it!
Janet. But yeah, so there you go. There's a story for you.
Clap, clap, clap.
One for the ages.
Macy, do you know what time it is?
It's the Patreon shout-out segment. WBAH Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Corey Caldwell.
Oh.
Brought to you by Corey Caldwell.
I
Thank
love
you,
that.
Corey Caldwell.
Thank you, Corey.
Yeah, but seriously, thank you so much. Thank you so, so much.
We chat a lot with Corey, I feel like, over on Patreon. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of... today, she was even saying, because we post over there what we're going to be talking about before we talk about it. That way, you know, if anyone wants to chime in. And,
yeah, and that's so much fun. I love it.
That's a lot of
it's
fun.
It's a fun little community over there.
Corey told us today, she said, I've never heard of the Beezum. And she was like, I'm so excited to, like, learn... new thing. She's like, that's why I love this podcast so much.
Oh.
So I just thought that was really sweet. I wanted to say thank you for that. Along with our patron, we have a new rating I want to read.
Yeah.
Because it's hilarious.
Oh, good.
And it's from AJ. Cracked me up a little bit. So not only is it a 5-star rating, but literally it's 5-star rating.
That's just what it says?
They typed in 5 little exploding stars as the description.
Solid.
So we got a 5-star rating from AJ, and it's just star, 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 star. And it fucking cracked me up. And, thank you so much for that, because it was a delight. It was a treat. So thank you, AJ. Send us in your creepy stories. If you've even been thinking about it, please send it in. I don't, you know, it doesn't have to be 5 pages long. It can be a quick little paragraph.
I promise you, regardless, we will love it.
Yes.
So much. It's so exciting.
And if you want to do that, please send those to us at wbahpodcast@gmail.com. Facebook at Witch Amateur Hour. Twitter at...
Bitch Hour!
That's our favorite. Instagram at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. And if you happen to meander, I think what
I
was
like
said.
The word meander.
Meander. If you happen to meander on over to the Patreon, that is patreon.com/WBAH podcast. And, you know, thanks for the consideration.
Yeah, really. And we say that a lot, but, like, really, just the fact that someone would actually willingly type that into their search bar blows my mind.
It's crazy. if you are a patron, check out the website. We finally have our Coven page up and working. So we've got a nice little thank you for you guys over there. We're really looking forward to the Halloween ep. We're really looking forward to the Samhain episode coming up. I'm ready to go write my spell with my blood... with my dragon's blood.
Good.
And eat some of this candy corn.
Mm.
Which I think some of y'all over on Facebook have started some controversy with the candy corn.
It's delicious.
It's the best. I know we're in the minority with that, though.
But I know we're in the right.
It may not be popular, but
it's
it is
right.
is there a Lord of the Rings quote we can shove in for this? Do not be so quick to deal out death and judgment. Thank you, guys. We love you. I'm trying to come up with an ending.
I'm watching you flounder.
I'm just sitting here floundering. All right, guys. We're off.
We're done.
We're done. Bye. What food are we going to scamper away to?
I really want some popcorn.
Dude, bitch.
I want it. Let's get it.
I think we're wonderful.
I'd want to hang out with us.
I'd want to be best friends.
We're egotistical.
So much. Mm-hmm.